Reading today is Matthew 17, 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, Jacob and John, and hiked up a high mountain to be alone. Then Jesus' appearance was dramatically altered. A radiant light as bright as the sun poured from his face, and his clothing became luminescent, dazzling like lightning. He was transfigured before their very eyes. Then suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared, and they spoke with Jesus. Peter blurted out, "Lord, it's so wonderful that we are all here together. If you want, I'll construct three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But while Peter was still speaking, a radiant cloud composed of light spread over them, enveloping them all. And God's voice suddenly spoke from the cloud, saying, "This is my dearly loved Son, the constant focus of my delight. Listen to him." The three disciples were dazed and terrified by this phenomena, and they fell face down to the ground. But Jesus walked over and touched them, saying, "Get up and stop being afraid." When they finally opened their eyes and looked around, they saw no one else there but Jesus. As they all hiked down the mountain together, Jesus ordered them, "Don't tell anyone of the divine appearance you just witnessed. Wait until the Son of Man is raised from the dead."
As a kid, you probably played with magnets. You might have marveled at how the two positive sides or the two negative sides would repel each other as if there were an invisible hand keeping them apart. But when you flipped one magnet over to the negative side, it easily attached itself to the positive side. As the saying goes, opposites attract. People have used this phrase for song lyrics, and they apply it to some relationships. The idea that opposites are good and necessary is not a new one. In fact, if you stop to think about the world we live in, we need the dark of night as much as we need the light of day. And for many of us, the cold of winter helps us appreciate the warmth of summer. The idea of wholeness and unity means encompassing opposites, like brokenness and healing. The story of the Transfiguration shows us how Jesus unifies our brokenness and our strengths. In this story, Jesus took the disciples, Peter, James, and John, up on a high mountain, and while they were there, Jesus' appearance changed. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets from the old covenant made with Abraham long before Jesus was born. In this version, God showed Peter, James, and John that in Jesus, the law and prophets had been united and fulfilled. And then God confirmed this by saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." The law with all its rules and the prophets with all their laments about how God's people fall short may seem like opposites, just like the two sides of a magnet. The law symbolized by Moses set up expectations, and the prophets symbolized by Elijah reported how people just couldn't keep those expectations. But in Jesus, these two opposites were brought together and unified. He fulfilled all the expectations. This example can give us hope because we too are full of opposites. We want to do good and love our neighbor, but we often fall short. We aspire to be generous, but we know we are often selfish.
The good news is that Jesus takes us into himself and unifies these opposites. He takes our brokenness and our strengths, and he makes us whole and complete. God tells us to listen to Jesus and pay attention to the way he has extended grace and reconciliation to all. The beloved Son holds humanity in his grasp, and God is well pleased. May you know that you are held in the strong, unifying embrace of God's beloved Son, Jesus, today and every day. Mi nombre es Eberticas, hablando de vida.
Good morning. Today is the Transfiguration Sunday. And that, I think you probably figured out kind of what we're talking about a little bit today. Listen to him. That's what the scripture that Heber mentioned. That's the same scripture that Jeff talked about. It's a big deal this day. If you'd bow your heads. Loving God, as we experience life with you, thank you. Thank you doesn't seem to be enough, but thank you for all of the things in each one of us can pause for a moment and reflect on just this last week, the events that you helped us through, or a family or a friend, that you were there, that you stood beside. And that's just in this last week. And God, I'm so grateful that you are with us every moment of every day. And certainly as we go through today's message, God, please, you speak your words, and that we can hear individually what you have for us. Thank you for this message of transfiguration. And God, let us learn and allow it to sink deeply into our very soul. In Jesus' name, amen. What about this story jumps out at you? Does anybody have anything that, as they've read the story, as you just heard it, is there anything that really just, grabs you?
I always want to know how they knew that was Moses and Elijah.
How did what?
How did they know that that was Moses and Elijah?
Their name tag. There's a lot of that we probably don't know, but they were pretty sure that, maybe they introduced themselves. I don't know. I doubt they had the name tag, though. But that is a good point. How did the three know that? As we look at this story, the bottom line, it brings us back to the lordship of Jesus. That's where we come back to. That's the part that we can hang our hat on. That's the part that is a part of us every day. We've been going through the segments of the Sermon on the Mount, and we've talked about Israel, and today we had a slideshow playing before church, and then after church we'll take and go through some of our trip to Israel. It was interesting, Jeff came up today and he said, "How long ago was it that we went?" And I thought, 4 years, it's been six. And I thought, how did they get by so fast? Hopefully, as we go forward, and as has happened over the last few weeks, we'll try and do a visual picture. And if we have a slide, we'll try and interject it. But want each one of us to grasp what this looked like. And that's what we've done with the Sermon on the Mount. Tell about the story of today's events, what happened. There's so much that went on in those nine verses. So much. And we're going to drill down into a few of them today. It says he took them up to a high mountain. I looked. I researched. Nobody knows which high mountain they went to. We know it was in the Middle East. We know it was in the area. Christ had just been speaking to the disciples and any that would listen to him on the Mount of the Beatitudes. So, you know, that area there was there. There are some high mountains, but a pretty good walk to get to them. But this is where they went, to a high mountain. So I want you, if you've never been on a high mountain, I'm sorry. The view is unbelievable. When you're up and you look all the way around, there may be some trees depending on how high the mountain is, whether you're above timberline or not. In Israel, they still had trees on the top of the mountains, you know, fairly close. But you can look, and if it was clear, which I'm guessing that it probably was, you see forever, it seems like. And you look over and you go, wow, that's Nazareth. And that's, but what you don't realize, unless you've done it, how far away that is. If you've hiked and been in the mountains, when you've been up high, you can walk for 2 hours and think, I'm not any closer than I was when I started, because it looks so prominent. But today's message, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to this high mountain. And I want you, as we go through this, to be in this story. I want you to imagine what it would have been like to be James or John or Peter. You are following Jesus, someone that you believe in, someone that you've spent a lot of time with, and he says, come on, we're going to go on a little journey. And you look around, you go, hey, okay, Jesus asked me. I get to be a part of this journey. And today I want you to have that mindset. Jesus is taking me on a journey. And we're going to go to a high mountain. In this process, Jesus' appearance changes. Radiant light is on his face. As the Son of God, what's your reaction to that? Are you kind of awestruck? Are you kind of, what is going on? I mean, they didn't have science fiction movies that they could visualize and know that, okay, this was probably something very new for them to see. And this is Jesus, the man that they loved, that they followed. And all of a sudden, his face is shining like the sun. His clothing starts almost like lightning, illuminating. And is it intimidating to you? Do you feel a little, maybe you're looking around behind you, maybe you're looking at the other two and going, what did we get into? What is happening? This is how dramatic that event would have been, as it was. Put yourself in that place. What would your thoughts be? What were you thinking at that moment? And then along comes Moses and Elijah without name tags, but they're there. And you know that Moses represents the law. You know, you're a person that has grown up. You know the Bible. You understand that, and you understand that Elijah represents the prophets. But here's Jesus still shining, and lightning effect is illuminating off of his clothing. And Elijah and Moses and Jesus are talking. Hopefully in a language they understood, which I'm quite sure it was. But again, you know that Elijah and Moses have been dead for a long time. And you're seeing them there conversing with Jesus. Could you even talk at that moment? Or are you awestruck? Well, we know one that wasn't. Peter, he just blurts out. I mean, if he's thinking it, you know it, because he is saying it. His heart is in the right spot. The question that I ask, and this is one that you can take rhetorically to yourself, how often have we spoke when we should be listening? I think that's a lesson from this journey onto the mount. Because Peter, his heart's in the right spot. He's looking to do what he thinks is a good thing. But while he is speaking, he's probably not even done with his speech that he wants to give, and a cloud covers him. What they could have seen moments ago, distant and far away, now you're in this cloud, thick fog, moist, and God's voice speaks. This is my dearly loved son, the constant focus of my delight. What are we supposed to do? Listen to him. Listen to my son. In verse 6, we'll go back through a couple of these verses. The three disciples were dazed and terrified by this phenomenon. I think any one of us would be dazed and terrified in this situation. If you can visualize what we've just talked about, what is mentioned, and they fell face down to the ground. Did they fall by choice? Or was it so overwhelming that their legs quit holding them up? I have had lightning hit close enough to knock me to my face on the ground. Never heard anything. Saw just a flash of light, and going from walking to laying face down on the ground and wondering how in the world I got there. Did that happen? Or was it that they were just overwhelmed and physically decided? I think that everything went out from under them. I think they're face down going, what is going on? But Jesus walked over and touched them, saying, and there's more in that sentence than we can ever imagine. Jesus walks over and touches us. Get up and stop being afraid. Was this a one-time event? I don't believe so. I think that message is to us. Don't be afraid. I'm here. When they finally opened their eyes, and I have to wonder, how long were they laying face down? Even when Jesus touched them and said, don't be afraid. That's a lot to take in for those three men. They didn't have any kind of a visual to reflect back on. This was all new. When it says they finally opened their eyes and looked around, I think that was probably a little bit of time, personally. I don't know that. And when they looked around, there was nobody there but Jesus. I think there's some imagery in that. When Jesus comes to us in times of trouble or pain or hurt and says, don't be afraid, I've got you. And we look around and all we can see is Jesus, because his presence is so big in our life at that moment. Everything else kind of goes away. As they hiked down the mountain together, Jesus ordered them, don't tell anyone of the divine appearance you just saw, what you witnessed. Wait until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Think about the timing. Were they aware that Jesus was going to die and be resurrected? Doesn't talk about it before this time. So having gone through this experience and they're walking down with Jesus and he tells them, don't talk about this. And they knew who the Son of Man was. Do you think that that kind of maybe changed their gait a little bit? They maybe stopped and looked at one another. Did he say what I thought he said? Is that really what I heard? The question begs in my mind, can you keep a secret when someone confides in you something and trusts you to hold on to that? That's what Jesus was doing with these three men. He was sharing something that was incredibly vital. But he said, don't talk about it until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. You think maybe that the three of them didn't even talk amongst themselves? This would have been such an impactful event. When you go home this week, read 2 Peter 1:16 through 21. It's a little bit of a parallel of this story from Matthew 17. And it's told over and again, listen to him. If you walk out of here today with nothing else, the message from this Sunday, Transfiguration Sunday, is listen to Jesus. Listen to him. Heber Tikus spoke of how opposites attract. And we're familiar with some of the examples that he gave, but we're going to go through some that Jesus talked about, some opposites. To find him, we need to deny ourselves. To find Jesus, we have to deny who we are. Kind of polar opposites, in a sense. To gain life, we need to take up the symbol of death, the cross. Again, those are opposites. To save our lives, we need to lose our life. Give up who you are and allow Jesus to live in you. When we lose our lives for Christ, we find our lives. Our concepts of God is often distorted by our experiences. We define God based on our life experiences. God is love. Do we understand love? Or do we kind of have an opposite view of love than who Jesus is? As humans, we often choose fear of God versus receiving his overwhelming love. Which is easier to do, love God or fear God? It's easier to fear God and try to be a good person, earning his love, than to lay ourselves totally in his hands and surrender to him. Those are opposites. Love is not earned. You can't earn it. It's a gift. We've all grown up with human parents, human grandparents. Everyone around us is human. How many live to win their approval and affection? As a child, did you sabotage your siblings so that you won and they didn't? The approval and affection we have striven for all of our life, with our spouse, with those around us. And in most cases, we don't realize that we're just living that life of trying to earn their affection or their love. When Jesus said, it's yours because of me. We feel weak in our brokenness, but it is the very brokenness that leads us to find strength in Christ. Opposites. Because when you are totally broken, you are strong in Christ. Opposites are brought together through Jesus. And if you read through there, this was just a short list of things that Jesus talked about, and it's our life. We are saved and transformed in Him. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. It's a gift. And He has given that to us. He is saying, I love you. And there isn't anything you can do to change that. Listen to Jesus. And you wonder, how can I do that? Many ways. Many ways. One of the more interesting things I read actually this morning was find a space where no one's around and just visit with God. Tell Him what you're thinking. Just share. Maybe there will be silence. And maybe in your heart, something will stir and you will understand because you have spent that time without distractions. Turn your phone off or don't take it. Enjoy that quiet time. Make it special. Allow God to touch you. And more than anything, listen to Jesus. That's what God the Father told Peter, James, and John, and by example, us as well. Listen to my Son. Today we are blessed on this fourth Sunday because we get to share a special event with Him. He provided for an opportunity, and He said, as often as you do this, remember me. Remember Jesus, all of the things that He came to this earth and lived and died, was resurrected, and sits on the throne waiting for His Father to say, it's time to go. Time to go back and reclaim this earth. But today we get to share a meal that He gave to us, His body broken. And we've covered that, and we will again in the next weeks coming up, that time frame where His body was broken for us and His blood was spilled and poured out for us. He loves us that much. He gave everything for us. And today we will be able to share that meal with Him. Don't rush through it. Take a moment with the process. Reflect on Jesus and all that He has done for you. And in some cases, I'm quite sure you can think of some pretty big things this week that Jesus did in your life. Loving God, as we thank You for Your love for us, for the triune glory of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that gives us life. And God, we can, as humans, get so wrapped up in ourselves and the human struggles of ourselves, our spouse, our kids, our neighbors, co-workers, people that we read about on the internet, or all of the pain and the hurt and the pandemic diseases that appear to be coming. But God, You are there and You love us and You have given it all for us. We thank You for Your words to listen to Jesus. And He's telling us today to remember Him. I ask that You would bless the elements on the table, the bread and the fruit of the vine. And God, that we can totally become immersed in You. In Jesus' name, amen. The table is set. Come as you are led.